1-800-831-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
91 FM, The Truth. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board as we face the issues today. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We look forward to your jumping in at any point in time and asking your question. You can ask your question. As some have used the term, want to put in my 2 cents worth. Well, you can do that today. We'd love to have you do so. We're going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, our telephone lines will be open. You're invited to call. Jot the number down if you can't recall it. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. That's the telephone number that you dial. The call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today a unique subject. A unique issue. Usually we hear about the Ten Commandments. Well, we're going to talk about the 11th commandment today. Perhaps you say, what is the 11th commandment? There are two verses in the scripture that most every Christian and almost all lost people know. Most know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Multitudes, if not most of the same ones, also know Matthew 7:1. Judge not, lest you should be judged. I call that Matthew 7:1 the 11th commandment. So we're going to talk about that today. What does it mean? Judge not, lest you should be judged. All of this has come about as far as the boiling conundrum as to whether or not we should say something when a preacher from the pulpit says something that's theologically, doctrinally incorrect, or a Christian says or does something that they're chided or corrected or confronted about. You hear that, judge not, lest you should be judged. Don't judge me. Don't tell me what I should do. It's the mindset that we have in society today. We're going to talk about it. What do we do? How do we respond as Christians when God gives us the responsibility of making sure that the truth of the word that goes out is correct without admixture? We'll talk about that today, and as we do, we're going to be looking at it from a central Biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? What does the scripture say? Surely there's an answer to that. Judge not, lest you should be judged. By the way, that's Matthew chapter 1. But the unit of thought is chapter 7, verse 1. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. But in that verse 1, judge not, lest you should be judged. The unit of thought is verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So we're going to talk about the unit of thought, the five verses in Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, lest you should be judged. Jesus is speaking. Sermon on the Mount. That's part of the text. What does he say? What does it mean? How should we embrace it? Or should we reject it and be silent as Christians? We'll talk about that today. I'm delighted that we can do so based on the authority of the Scripture. The Scripture is very, very clear. It's the truth book. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 8:31 and 32. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Word of God makes a declaratory statement. Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, according to Psalms 117, verse 2, that endures forever. So let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we study, as we look at the Scripture, as we discern what the Scripture says, we need to be very, very careful that we're not using a portion of a text or a text out of context to make it say what we want it to say. Truth matters. Truth matters. We need to recognize that. We need to understand it. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factual today. In fact, multitudes today are angry, upset, riled up, as some would call it, because they've been confronted with deception or with false teaching or with false theology. And as a result of someone that says, you ought not to do that, you ought not to say that, or what you're saying is wrong, what you're doing is wrong, it's sin, you ought not to do that, then there's that judge not, lest you should be judged. We need to go back to the truth of the Word of God. It's the, according to the latest survey, the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group in society today, they make the claim that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. This is the reason, as we look at this text today in relationship to what the Scripture says, what it really means, judge not lest you should be judged. We need to let that direct our footsteps and not what someone thinks it says or someone using it as a fragment out of context. What does it say? We need to search for truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. And defend the truth, even to death. May I say to you today, truth matters. And we need to recognize truth and stand on it and defend it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flying at the top of that pole. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait to see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Dr. Glenn Davis. Dr. Davis travels from up in South Georgia.
Amen.
His what would you call it? Stomping ground. I'm thankful that he's with us generally as we speak about doctrinal theological issues. Dr. Davis, thank you for being here. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. You teach on Thursday evenings in the college. You come back to the campus or are having this dialogue and discussion today, and I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, and it's always an honor and a privilege as well to be able to serve in this capacity, because not only do I count it a privilege to be a part of the teachings at the college, but I also count it a privilege to be able to minister to the body of Christ as well.
Amen.
This is our main duty on today, and I thank God for this and the subject that we are getting ready to go into today is very important, because we need to understand that we face situations in life every day.
That's right.
Where judgment is essential. And I'm talking about making the right judgment.
Right decision.
Now, we don't need to make judgment based on our feelings. Because we have five senses, and all of them will fool us. Now, if we look at things through the prism of the Word of God, then we can always make the right call when it becomes necessary. When we look at the enigmas that's taking place in the, should I say, in the media,
right,
in the area of media on today, it's designed to keep people confused.
That's right.
And certain things, the way that they say it, the wordplay, you know, we talked about that last week.
Right.
About the law that they're trying to push through the Florida House of Representatives, that we talked about last week, basically. Right. God bless Ashley Moody, how she stood up in defense of the abortion issue. But when they use certain word plays, it's designed to throw you off so that you can't make the right judgment.
Deceive.
So what we're trying to do today is be able to share enough information with everyone that's listening, not just the body of Christ, but everyone who may be tuned in today, to give you a better understanding of how to use judgment. Because after God made man in the Garden of Eden, he gave them dominion over everything here. Dominion involves being able to make a judgment call.
Absolutely.
So, being that you have the power to make a judgment, and again, we're not talking about based upon criticism of any individual, because the Bible said that we all have sinned and we fell short of the glory of God.
That's right.
But as ministers of the body of Christ, and especially those of you that have now received Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's very important for you to understand the method by which judgment must be used.
That's the key to it.
So let us make sure that we understand. We get something from what we have to say in this broadcast on today, because I know, for a matter of fact, Dr. Youngblood, he's got some very deep information, research, that he can share with you on today that will be beneficial to you in whatever walk of life you might be in on today.
Amen.
Even if it comes down to the white-collar class of people, the blue-collar class, everybody faces a time when they have to be able to use sound judgment.
Sound judgment.
So let's make sure that we understand what's going on today. So good morning to my wife of almost 38 years. Amen. Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. Love you so much. All of my family and friends that are listening on today. All of the area people that welcome me every time they see me and talk about us. Dr. Youngblood, I thank God for them. Amen. Amen. And I don't even want to call all the businesses one by one and name by name. Sometimes I go to restaurants and people, they feed the country boy well.
Amen.
Because, and I just love eating. Amen. Amen. But they start telling me about how they enjoy what they're listening to, how beneficial it is.
Amen.
That Let's Face the Issues are. Amen. To them. And they listen each and every day that they get a chance to. So thank you so much for listening in on the program.
That's our intent. It's our prayer that we'll see more and more join in the dialogue, the discussion, the listening to, and the following the issues that we talk about. Dr. Davis, the text that we're talking about in Matthew chapter 7, the first verse, judge not lest you be judged. We live in a society today when there's an attitude that if you correct someone, there's an attitude if you try to join in the correction or to challenge or to confront someone with wrong theology or with doctrinal depleted positions, that somehow, some way, that you're judging. And the answer is, judge not. That's the automatic answer. Judge not, lest you should be judged. They're feeling, if you try to correct what they're saying or doing, that it is judging, judgmental. And I've just made a list down through the years, because I've taught this subject a number of times. For example, by the way, Dr. Davis, you're probably familiar with it, probably have heard me say it. This text, judge not lest you should be judged, is one of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted, misused, abused texts in all the Bible. Now, it's not the only one. There are a number of them. In fact, I've, down through the years, I've taught a series on the misunderstood, misinterpreted text in the Bible. and it's almost an endless list.
Amen.
But this is one of them, and this is the reason I call it the 11th commandment, because most everybody's familiar with this verse, this unit of thought, judge not, lest you should be judged. Perhaps the most quoted, referred to verse in the Bible, other than John 3:16. And may I say as we, and you touched on it, Dr. Davis, in judging, let me just run down a list of 10 things that we do, and we don't think about it as being judging. We judge horse shows. We judge beauty contests. We judge cooking and baking contests. We judge car racing. We judge between candidates at election time. We look at a restaurant menu, and we judge not this, not that, not the other, but this one. That's making a judgment call. We roll the television dial, and as we roll the television dial, we're judging between this channel, this broadcast. We're judging. We judge between people. We judge between making a decision, who we're going to marry, who we're not going to marry.
Amen.
We judge about jobs. There's two job offers. We sit down, we analyze, we look at it, we weigh it, we judge which one should be taken. We judge between schools and choose the one that we think is better for us. I made a little note. It happened just a few years back. I've got a granddaughter that has horses. She teaches horseback riding. And on one occasion in teaching horseback riding, she confronted one of the young girls, young ladies, because of her, quote, inappropriate attire. And the young lady said to her, don't body shame me. You're judging me.
My, my.
There is that quip that comes out of the heart and the mouth of so many people that if you confront them or if you say anything about what they're doing that is sin or that is wrong theology, then all of a sudden there's the quip that you're just judging me. And that's simply not so. We need to recognize what is taking place. Recently, well-known internationally, and this is what brought it to mind for us to talk about this issue today. Recently, there was an internationally known preacher, Bible teacher, a pastor that resides and pastors up in, I believe it's Ohio, and he had the opportunity on a radio broadcast. He was being interviewed by someone about his new book, and a grandmother called in and asked the question, Dr. Alistair, Pastor Alistair Begg, B-E-G-G, internationally known, a revered preacher, teacher of the word, have a lot of respect for him, still do today. But if there's an error, you need to confront the error. And Pastor Begg was asked by a grandmother. The grandmother called and said, I've got a grandson that's about to get married. He's going to marry a transsexual. And my question is, should I go to the wedding? And Pastor Alistair Begg said, does your grandson know where you stand and your love for Jesus? She said, yes, sir. Does your grandson realize that you do not necessarily embrace that sort of thing and that it would be sin? Yes, sir. He said, then I recommend that you go to the wedding, celebrate the wedding, and even buy him a gift. Otherwise, your grandson will think you are critical and judgmental, and you don't want to come across that way. So the point is that I want our listeners to ask and understand is, should Alistair Begg be confronted benevolently, lovingly, carefully, but with a critical eye on what does the Bible say? Or should it just be left out there in the, as I would call it, the stratosphere, for everyone to embrace it, to believe it, and to not say anything about it? I've got an article that I'm looking at, Pastor, that says, can Christians attend gay weddings? Listen to what this writer says. What name about Alistair Begg? The sexual revolution has revolutionized everything to the point where questions that once had simple answers have become complicated. For instance, the question, can I attend a gay wedding, comes up very interesting frequently and is proving less and less easy to answer. It is not hard to guess what reasons a Christian might give for attending a gay wedding, a desire to indicate to the couple that one does not hate them or to wish to avoid causing offense or hurting them. But if either carries decisive weight in their decision, then something has gone wrong.
My.
To consider a declined invitation necessarily a sign of hatred is to adopt the notion that hate as a mere refusal to affirm or to embrace. Now, what this writer was saying is that there's the mindset that I have got to go along with what your sin is and embrace it, or you're going to think that I'm a bad person. Now, Dr. Davis, what's wrong with that picture? Do we have that similar issues taking place on every hand? For example, if you were to see someone that's engaged in what you know to be harmful, you know to be sin, they ought not to do it. Should we say anything if it's a friend, relative, neighbor, or if it's a co-worker or a church member? Should we say something about it? Or should we just leave it alone? For example, you have Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley says now that the Old Testament should be jettisoned. Andy Stanley says when it comes to the Ten Commandments, they're not relevant for the Christian today. Andy Stanley says even with the Lord's Prayer, it's defective and ought to be corrected. And I could go on and on. Should we remain silent about that theological double talk, or should we confront it and say it's wrong, it's sin, and ought not to be that way? I believe we need to confront it. I believe we need to take a stand. But there are guidelines that we're given in the Scripture on what we as Christians must do in order to then confront, correct, and redirect the thinking of someone when there is a sinful answer or a sinful act. And when it comes to Alistair Begg and his position in conversation with the grandmother, he was asked to rethink that. He was asked to reject that position. He refused to do so. He says that basically, and I'm paraphrasing, he says that what he said stands. He has nothing to change, nothing to modify or to withdraw in his statement. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is it right biblically for a parent, a grandparent, a Christian, to go to a sodomite, transsexual, homosexual, LGBTQ wedding? Is it right? Is it okay? What does it connote if you do? But Alistair Begg's position was that it is sending a signal of dislike, sending a signal of not loving. It's sending a signal of hate rather than loving confrontation and saying, no, I'm not going to participate. Pastor Davis, give your thoughts on that analysis very briefly before we go further in our thoughts.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I believe the Bible always provides us with the best answers.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we go to Galatians chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
it tells us if a man, that's any man, woman, boy, or girl, be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go to such an one in the spirit of meekness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the case is with Dr. Alistair Begg. I mean, as you said, I've listened to him various times on the radio, his preachings and teachings. I've seen a few of his books that were out there, and I understand that he's an outstanding author, you know, of many, you know, publications.
Mm-hmm.
And I, too, you know, had grown to some level of respect for him up until that point.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if any ministers of the gospel has actually went to confront him about, you know, his comments. But if they did, I have to wonder, did they go in the spirit of meekness like the scripture said?
Mm-hmm.
Now, perhaps, and this is just Brother Davis saying this, perhaps he's caught up in a fault. Now, if such is the case, then you go to him and present him with the truth. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the word of God.
Right.
mm-hmm. and give him a chance to recover himself. Now, if he doesn't take the proper steps in order to recover and get back on the right track, the scripture says, when we go to Titus, the book of Titus, it says, when you go to a man and tell them about righteousness, and I'm just paraphrasing, and they refuse to correct themselves or get back on the right track, such a one is subverted. Mm-hmm. That means when you look at sub, in other words, when you look at a submarine, it goes below the surface of the water. Mm-hmm. So when someone gets subverted, they have fallen below the standards of what they're supposed to do as a, in this case, a Christian.
Absolutely.
So if that's the case with Dr. Begg, you know, if whoever it is, mm-hmm. even us today, if we have researched the matter and come to find out that that's the case with him, then of course we should pray for him. But then also, Dr. Youngblood, it goes on further to tell us to have no fellowship.
That's exactly.
Now that's the scripture. Mm-hmm. Now listen. I mean, people can say what they want and it sounds harsh, mm-hmm. but God's always got it right. Well, he's always provided us with the right answer.
Right. And the purpose, as you have alluded to and touched on, the purpose for going to the person is for to be able to benevolently confront. As one magazine put it back in 2006, the front of the magazine said, it's debate and not hate. And the subject was on Islam and the Islamic jihadist. I happened to be the subject of that 3 or 4 page article in World Magazine in that edition in 2006, because I had taken a stand publicly against the evil, wicked, jihadist Islamic religion. And as a result of that, World Magazine had quoted me and had our sign on in the magazine, and they had also interviewed Franklin Graham. And so the jihadists were calling it hate, but the magazine front of it was well worded, said it's debate and not hate. Many times, ladies and gentlemen, the problem is if you go to a person, you want to correct them, benevolently love. Pastor, just like with our kids, we've got sons and daughters in our families. It is not hate. When we spank them, correct them, it is because we love them and trying to embrace them to go in the right track, the right direction.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
The purpose of it.
Amen. And, so, and ladies, then, Dr. Youngblood, if I may throw this in, let's always keep this in the forefront of our minds. We cannot go to any individual with respect of persons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because if we do that, then we're perverted.
That's right.
Actually, we're perverting ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we make a judgment call, our judgment is going to be perverted. Mm-hmm. So again, we have to keep the right outlook and make sure that we're staying in the Word of God. If we want to look at people and judge things through the eyes of God, then that's how we must do it, through the lens of the Scripture.
Absolutely. And when it comes down to that, for example, Alistair Beggs was saying to the grandmother, you don't want to come across as being judgmental. Therefore, I come to the text, judge not lest you should be judged. I'm looking at an article that's further on that, and I'll say this, and then we'll make a transition. It says, by advocating attendance and giving gifts to such ceremonies, Begg, that's B-E-G-G, his pastor's name, not only disregards the scriptural condemnation of homosexuality, but also encourages believers to participate and participate actively in what is portrayed in Scripture as to be an abhorrent act before God.
My goodness.
And so a Christian cannot do that. And I want us to do this, Pastor Davis, before our news break, and judge then Matthew 7, 1 and following. Judge not lest you be judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? What wilt thou say to thy brother? Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt clearly cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So the scripture doesn't say, do not judge. There's some things that we'll talk about after the news break that we must do before the judgment is given.
Amen.
Or the scripture says, you're a hypocrite.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
The Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist.